that is found in the Proverbs, and not just in the Proverbs, of course, but it's very concentrated, very, very dense in the Proverbs. Just verse after verse is so practical, so real life, right down on the bottom shelf, and I pray that the Lord will help us tonight. Proverbs 6, we'll start in verse 15. It says, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, speak to us, sober us, warn us, caution us. Lord, help us to be wise so that we can avoid the snares of the devil and so that we can help others to do the same. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that your spirit would speak to us and help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text tonight, we find a description and a warning. And those are very helpful for us. I think about the warning labels on products, and without fail, if it's an electric device on the cord going to the end, you always find a warning label. And sometimes it seems like they have to sit there and imagine some absurd way to misuse the product to possibly cause danger to yourself. But sometimes, you know, they're not so absurd. I think about a hair dryer, and usually you use one in the bathroom, and there are sinks in the bathroom, there's a tub in the bath, and if it mixes with water while it's running, you could be in big trouble. If you use one sitting in the bathtub, that's a problem, and you drop it in the water. So there are all kinds of ways that people can misuse the product, and the warning labels want you to know what will happen if you do misuse that product. And that warning tells you what the misuse looks like and what the misuse will bring. Don't do this because it will cause this. And tonight's text does the same thing. Don't do this, and the thing, the wrong behavior, it looks like this, and it also will bring this. And we're informed on both accounts, and we're going to see how we're going to apply that information, that instruction. I see the word froward or frowardness. It's mentioned twice, and the word froward means perverse, that is turning from, with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient. And often in the Bible we find the words path and way mentioned. And I think of a path, and especially if you're going through the woods, a trail leads you through the easiest way possible than crashing through the undergrowth yourself and blazing a new trail. And so we know the Lord wants us to go in the way we should go, and if we'll follow him, that is the easiest way. It's not easy in every way. We have to die to the flesh, and that's not easy, but it is much easier than sowing to the flesh and reaping the consequences of sin. God's path is much easier than that. And I think about a path and the word froward. And so this word it uses some interesting words as definition. We may not put froward on the level with perverse. I think of perverse as being really, really bad. And froward, well, I mean, sure, it's bad, but this is a word that's used to define froward, perverse, which is turning from, turning off the path. And why would you turn off the path? Well, I don't like the path. That's one reason. Another reason is I'm still thinking about the path, whether or not I'm going to follow it. I'll turn off here for now. There are all kinds of reasons that one may be froward. It might be easy for us to think of froward as a wicked, obstinate, devilish, rebellious spirit, but it doesn't have to be. It can be one, a reluctant spirit, but it is not willing to yield or comply with what is required. I'm not willing. And I might have some really good sounding reasons as to why I'm not willing, but I'm not willing to yield or comply. I am unyielding. I'm ungovernable. I will govern myself. You cannot govern me. This is what froward is all about. Disobedient. I will only listen to my own counsel. I won't listen to yours. I will not obey you. This is froward. And at least when I think of it in those terms, it goes from, froward goes from being this label that we only, you know, apply to the worst of the worst, and it suddenly becomes more common, more universal. Froward. Froward is the opposite of submitted or surrendered or obedient or meek or compliant. Froward is the opposite of those things. And God wants us to know what frowardness looks like and what it brings. You have the warning label. This is what misuse looks like, and here is what it results in. This is what we're going to see with frowardness. This is what it looks like, and here's what it brings. And with God's help, we can recognize it and avoid it in our daily life in all the ways, and we'll talk about those ways. Frowardness is a serious issue, and it can sneak in undetected. And so tonight I want us to see the severity and subtlety of frowardness. The severity and subtlety of frowardness. First of all, the severity of frowardness. Let's look at verse 12 again. Proverbs 6, verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. And I want to talk about its severe spread. And God has a severe response to it. But the severity of frowardness, it's not just a mild hint of an influence. It will permeate and it will dominate. This is a severe influence and effect that it has, and it spreads that way. It spreads completely. We often use the word naughty nowadays as a mild word directed towards children. Don't be naughty now. And it's not good, but, you know, we kind of chuckle about how they're naughty. But naughty is not that, it didn't used to be a mild word. The word naughty means wicked, corrupt. It's a very serious word. The word wicked, of course, a naughty person, a wicked man. The word wicked means evil in principle or practice. It means deviating from the divine law. And that has a lot in common with froward. Addicted to vice, sinful, immoral. That is a very strong word. And the word naughty has wicked in the definition. So these are similar words. They are strong words. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is a serious condition. And I don't know of anyone taking this lightly, but we need to see how severe this frowardness is, and it spreads. But in Proverbs 6, it says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He walketh with a froward mouth. And Luke 6:45 tells us what that really means. A froward mouth, of course, is your speech. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, we can learn a speech. You know, this is what I'm going to say. This is my line. If somebody ever says such and such to me, this is what I say in return, and it's just kind of a memorized thing. But when we're just talking off the cuff, we're just speaking from our heart, and we're just saying what's on our mind, and it's coming out. It's the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What does your speech look like? Is it froward? Is it evil? Is it corrupt? Is it naughty? Is it immoral and sinful? Well, that was just that one time that I just blew up, you know, and it's not the real me. I kind of scoff, or not scoff, I roll my eyes a little bit. I'm a little skeptical. I hear people in the news once in a while. There's a big whatever scandal. They say things they shouldn't have, and they say, well, that wasn't the real me. And I say, the Bible says something very different. That was the real you. What came out reveals the real you. And what does our speech reveal about ourselves? Frowardness in the mouth, as Proverbs 6:12 talks about, frowardness in the mouth is a very clear indication of the heart. So this man, this naughty and wicked man in Proverbs 6:12, frowardness is in his mouth. It shows us that it's in his heart. Frowardness has spread to his heart, and out of his heart, his heart determines what his life looks like. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15, turn over there. And it's all connected. What's in our heart will come out in our words, and what comes out of our heart will defile our life. What is in your speech? Is it frowardness? Turning away from with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply, unyielding, disobedient? It's a very severe thing, a very severe issue. Matthew 15, 18, Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Interesting how the Pharisees had gotten those two things mixed up. And so often that is the case. People get the superficial mixed up with the deep and heart level issues, and we are obsessed with shallow things, superficial things. But the Lord says, out of the heart come the things that will defile your life, and that includes what we say. Frowardness in the heart will spread through all of the life. And let's go back to Proverbs 6. This is a severe thing. The severity of frowardness is demonstrated in how deeply it permeates the heart. And if it comes out in the speech, it's in the heart. Of course, we know that if plants are sprouting and, you know, have leaves and blooms and fruit, there are obviously roots. There's a root there that was there before the above ground part of the plant, and that is true of frowardness. If it's coming out in the mouth, there is a root there. We read on, verse 12 again says, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord." Now we know by comparing scripture with scripture, as we've just done, that by saying a person has a froward mouth, we know what their heart is that way. But Solomon just comes out and says it. Frowardness is in his heart. And so in every part of this wicked person's life, he is spreading his frowardness. He winketh with his eyes, and this is related to his frowardness, speaking with his feet, his actions, the places that he goes, that he is saying something by all of that. He teacheth with his fingers, and it's in his heart he deviseth mischief continually. In every single part of his life, he is spreading frowardness. It's a very severe condition. You think about somebody who is very sick and very contagious, and we tell them, stay home, because if you're around people, you're going to be spreading that illness, and you probably don't feel well enough to be up anyway. This is kind of like that, only it's worse. You are spreading it. This person is spreading it. They are broadcasting it. They are disseminating it. They are infecting other people, potentially. We need to be aware of what this looks like. We need this warning label is for us. This word mischief, again, the word usage has changed over the years, and we think it's not so bad. Oh, that boy, he's so mischievous, you know, and we pat him on the head and think kindly of him, fondly of him. But the word mischief, before our culture has changed it, when it's used here in the Bible, it's talking about intentional injury, harm, or damage done by design. And this could be damage done to God's law. I'm not going to follow God's law. I am going to undermine God's law. I'm going to undermine and try to do damage to God's works or to other people, physical property, all kinds of ways that mischief could be enacted. He deviseth mischief continually. This is what comes out. All kinds of mischief, all kinds of harm and hurt. And so it's good for us to know what this person looks like, how he acts. Stay away. Beware of him. It will affect you, and it will even infect you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And if you're not aware of what that's saying, it's talking about evil associations, having interaction with people. You're communicating, you're associating, you're spending time around them. They will corrupt your propriety in how you act. Their bad habits will rub off on you. Their evil thoughts and evil habits and evil ways will infect you. We need to be aware of what this froward person looks like. This is how he acts. And not only does it spread severely, but it has a severe end. God responds very severely to it. Proverbs 6:15 says, "Therefore, because of all this, because this is the way this man is, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." That's very severe. That's a very severe end. Therefore, this must happen. It has to happen. And thankfully, there's repentance. That's the judgment that we can take that path of judgment and spare ourselves. But it's judgment in Christ, in his sacrifice on the cross. But if a man, a wicked man, a naughty person, a froward person, will not have his sin be judged in Christ, his calamity shall come suddenly. I'm reminded of Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." This must be the end of this frowardness. This word broken, calamity, of course, speaks of disaster, but suddenly shall he be broken. That word means smashed or destroyed, total destruction. I have tried to fix a number of child's toys, and it can be just one minor, irritatingly small part that breaks, and just one little, snap of a plastic piece, and the whole thing is ruined. And if you can just fix that one, you'll be back in business. That's not what this is talking about. Imagine a glass vase or something, and you throw it down on the concrete from a tall height, and it smashes into a million pieces. You can't find them all, much less put them back together. That's what this broken is talking about. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy, which means repair or cure or healing. There's no coming back from this. And so we ought to be careful about depending on this kind of person or throwing your lot in with him. Don't rely on a froward person. Don't associate and be close friends with a froward person. Give him the gospel, preach to him, but don't associate with him. Don't be his friend, because his calamity might harm you. We ought not to be deceived. God is aware of the froward. He's keeping track. He's not indifferent or impotent. He does everything right on time. God makes a severe response to wickedness and frowardness. And this is the severity of it. It's a very serious condition, and it brings a very serious and severe response. So let's talk about the subtlety for a few minutes, the subtlety of frowardness. Let's go back to verse 12, Proverbs 6:12. It says, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord." And we might read about this naughty person or a wicked man and imagine just an obscene or heinous person who obviously fits Solomon's description. We might say, okay, preacher, what you've been talking about, yes, it's really bad, it's severe, it'll bring a severe response from God. We got it. We'll stay away. That's pretty clear. But it's very subtle. And there are people out there that are this kind of heinous person like that. But Solomon I don't believe he's trying to warn his son about the obvious cases. Why do we need warnings? Because otherwise we would be destroyed. Otherwise we would fall prey. We'd fall into the snare. You don't need someone to come alongside you and say, you beware that you know, serial killer, derelict type walking around obvious and shouting at everybody and just abusing everyone and say, you need to watch out for that guy. They're not very Christ-like. We don't need somebody to tell us that. It is the subtle case that we need to be warned about, the cases that do not seem froward or wicked at first glance. And I want to talk about it, the subtle exercise of frowardness, because frowardness can be very subtle. It can sneak in. It can mask itself and look like something different other than frowardness. We see the froward words. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. How do you identify frowardness? Listen to what is said. Listen to the words. Don't listen to what you think they mean. Listen to what they say. I try to be very purposeful in my words. I want to speak clearly. I want to be understood. I don't like it when I'm trying to say this and somebody else understands this. To me, that's very frustrating, because then we have to go back, or maybe they were hurt or misled or something, and that was what I was trying to avoid. Let's go back and fix it. I don't like that to happen. And so I try to speak very intentionally. But I think by and large, we all do that. We all try to say what we mean. And we ought to listen to what is said. Does what is said line up with Scripture? Or was it froward? Again, frowardness is turning off the path. It might be because of reluctance. I don't know if I need to think about that some more before I really buy into that, what the Bible says there. Or it might be just, I hate that. I don't want that. I want to go my own way. Does it line up with Scripture? Or does it present an alternative view? Yeah, you could look at it that way. I suppose the Bible does say that. But look at it this way. Sometimes it can be easy to minimize things or explain them away. You listen to what someone has said and you say, you know, I'm sure they didn't mean that. Well, we shouldn't think the worst of people, but if they said it to you, ask them what they meant. Think about what is said. Psalm 19:14 is what our heart's attitude ought to be. This is how we ought to live. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Sometimes froward speech can be coming out of a smiling mouth. A very friendly person can give froward speech. Well, they just seem so nice and caring. I don't think they're really. But what did they say? What does their speech reveal? Are their words froward? What about their actions? Verse 13 says, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. These are alternative forms of communication. Speech is maybe the primary form. We say what we mean, and I'm thankful for language. But winking with your eyes, it talks about, I mean, we know what a wink is, but it's speaking of communicating non-verbally. Communicating with body language, demonstrating with actions. Let me look at the language. Speaking with my feet. You watch where I go. I'm saying something. Is it froward or is it not? These are also subtle forms of influence. Sometimes a wink, you can maybe say a joke, and you add a wink at the end, and it can make the joke more funny, maybe. Or maybe you're playing around with somebody, and you can be saying something that is intentionally maybe sarcastic, but a wink shows that you don't really mean it. It's a subtle form of communication. And this froward person communicates subtly. And these things, he is using his eyes and his feet and his fingers. He is always communicating. There are always different influences coming out of his life. And I think about, you're around, and you know this, if you have a secular job, the more time you spend around lost people, the more ways that they will affect you. and you work all day long, they might be a really nice person. Just they want to be friendly to you. They want to be a friend. They're not trying to be an adversary, but they're lost. They don't know the Lord, and they are part of the world, and there are so many ways in which they can influence you. Froward. We need to be able to identify frowardness. The effect of these actions are continual. In all the different ways, body language and verbally, he is always communicating frowardness. These are the actions. And then the results, we see the results in verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. It's in his heart. He deviseth. He's always coming up with new ways of mischief. And again, he might not be like a saboteur sitting there wondering how he can blow something up or set something on fire. Devising mischief can come in many different forms, but this is what's going on in his heart. And he sows discord. This is a very tangible result. We cannot see his heart, but we do see the result. The word discord is disagreement among persons or things. Between persons, there's a difference of opinions. There is variance, there is opposition and contention. Where there ought to be unity and harmony, there is discord. There is a breaking of that. There is making two parties at odds, sowing discord. Little seeds, little here and there, causing that result. This is what a froward person does. Well, you know, that person always just seems to sow discord. That's what a froward person does. Well, you know, this person over here, they're not, they kind of reject the biblical pathway of things, but it'll be fine. No, a froward person sows discord. Beware. That may not be his intention. He wants to bring something between you and that other person. But frowardness sows discord. It leads to discord. We need to be aware. This is the warning label. I think of the devil. I think we could probably say that he is the original froward person. Let's look at some things about how he operates. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Again, a froward person doesn't necessarily come in and present himself in an obvious way. You don't find flashing red lights identifying the froward person. He doesn't come in just blasting God and the Bible and using all kinds of foul language all the time. He might be a very pleasant and charming person. She might be a charming person, but these are the results. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Very clear command, we're aware of this. Look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I'm just asking a question here. And you know, I'm revealing, and it wasn't ignorance, but I'm revealing my ignorance here. Can you teach me? Tell me what God said. Oh, great, this is a good opportunity. But he wasn't really looking to hear what God said. He was froward, still is froward. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But before you think I'm froward, let me tell you why. Let me just give you some context here. Here's an alternative view. Because this is what God didn't tell you. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, there's really something in it for you. I mean, just look at it from my perspective. There's something here you're not aware of. There's another path. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Did the devil sow discord? Yes, he did. He suggested it. He influenced them to act. And he divided between them and God. And then we go down a few verses and we find that he divided between Adam and Eve. They started pointing fingers. They were not unified anymore. It was every man for himself. Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination." And verse 19, just a few verses after our text tonight, one of the things the Lord hates is he that soweth discord among brethren. The serpent seemed like he cared about Eve. The serpent seemed even very low-key. Maybe we would say he was very reasonable about contradicting God's word. "Ye shall not surely die." Now, I'm not saying God is crazy. I'm not saying that he's wrong about everything. But let me just tell you why there's an alternate path here. Let me just give you my perspective. There is another way. You don't have to be quite so strict about this thing. The serpent seemed intelligent and discerning about issues that really mattered to Eve. He really cared for her, but he sowed discord, which again is disagreement, opposition, variance. He sowed discord between God and man. The serpent is always speaking and doing wickedly, and the serpent's total and full calamity will come suddenly. We know that. Proverbs 6 talks about a calamity. We know the devil will have his calamity. It will come. He shows us what frowardness looks like. Beware the subtle frowardness in all of its forms and by all of its means. There is not only subtle exercise of it where it doesn't seem like frowardness, but it is. The subtlety of frowardness is also displayed in its infiltration. Again, Solomon in Proverbs 6 is not saying to Rehoboam, "Now you got to beware of those people out there. Now you're going to go out on the streets of Jerusalem. You're going to go about your business, Rehoboam. There are some froward people out there, and I know they're out there. There's nobody in this building like that, but out there, you got to be wary of those people. Be careful out there as you go about your business." No, Solomon is describing the universal sinner's condition, all of us. Not just those really bad people out there. He is describing the condition that any of us can find ourselves in. Each of us must be alert to keep from being influenced from without. Beware of the froward people out there. They will influence you. But each of us must also be vigilant to keep from becoming this froward person from within. I think that most, if not all, froward people do not believe that they are froward. They don't go around saying, "Hey, my name is George and I'm froward. Nice to meet you. Good to meet you. Yeah, I saw you. Good, you're a froward person too. Excellent. We're froward." No, they don't believe that. They believe they're right. "I'm not froward, I'm right. I would go that way, but it's the wrong way. I'm going to go this other path. I'm not going to follow that path. This is the right path. That's nice for them, but I have a better idea. I understand most people have to do that, but those rules don't apply to me. That's a nice ideal, but I'm not really an idealist. I've found some exceptions where that doesn't really apply." So you don't always have to do that. You got to be aware of how frowardness reveals itself. Again, froward means perverse, turning from, with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply. In Romans chapter 3, we won't turn there, but verses 10 to 19 talk about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They have all turned aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, and so on. Verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. All have sinned. This is the condition of all people, you and me and everyone else. This is who we are. Not just those really bad people out there, us. So I think if we can be described by these verses in Romans, we also have the potential to be froward. But we never think it's frowardness. We just think we're being discerning or careful or wise or correct. Even if you're saved, frowardness can infiltrate your life. It does it subtly. Turn to James chapter 3, and we're almost finished here. James chapter 3. The wicked man has a froward mouth. Our words is, the area of speech is a common area where frowardness comes out. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Remember, our words reveal what's in our heart. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships. Look at verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I mentioned in the prayer time that we can, humanly speaking, and I don't know if this applies to any of us here, but I know it's a possibility, we can let something like politics change how we talk about people, change how we think about people. Well, I'm not going to pray for them as, you know, as I would my lost neighbor who I really want to be saved and come to church, you know, and start doing, I'm not going to pray for them, that other person like that, because, well, I have a different path than what the Lord has said. I'm not thinking of that person in politics or whatever, wherever, as someone that Christ died for and someone I should love and pray for and care about. I have a different path. We can be carnal in our jokes. We can be flippant or careless in what we say. It's a critical comment, a flippant, uncaring comment. We can vent. Sometimes people say, oh, you should allow yourself to vent. It'll be good for you. Blow off some steam. No. No, it's wicked. It's ungodly. It's froward. All of those things indicate a heart problem. Again, if it's coming out our mouth, it's revealing something about our heart. I wouldn't normally say this, but if we speak it with a froward attitude, it can usually mean, you know, occasional sin isn't a problem. I just won't do it a lot. I don't normally say this, but right now it's okay. That's how frowardness is ignored. Well, they said that thing and that was wrong, but, you know, I know they're not a bad person. And so frowardness here is excused. You know, I would only say this to you, but, and that can mean it's okay if I sin in my words to you, because I know that you know me well enough to not condemn me. That's how frowardness can sneak into multiple hearts and minds. Let me subtly slip this into my speech, and now you'll accept it and think about it, and it can infect both of us now. Or you understand what I mean when I say, and that can mean, these carnal words I'm about to say don't always indicate carnality and sin. I can say this sinful thing, and you understand what I mean. You're not going to take it like it really is, actually. And this is how frowardness is justified or minimized. And we can, I'm not saying we should become pharisaical and condemning, but we should be willing, if our friend says something that is froward and corrupt, hey, you know, you shouldn't say that. I don't think that's right. Do you really mean that? I mean, the Bible says we shouldn't talk that way. That concerns me that you would, and we can confront them in love, but we can, instead, we often can justify it and excuse it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." And there's only one alternative to that, which is, "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." This verse doesn't give us any other options. Let no corrupt communication, instead, that which is good to the use of edifying. And this is convicting. I struggle with my tongue like anybody else. I'm not saying that I, you know, for many years now, I have let no corrupt. I need God's help to put a guard on my mouth, on my tongue, because I am able to violate this verse as well. Let no corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's what we should be speaking. Froward words, and it can infiltrate our lives if we're not paying attention. Actions, again, "He speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers, winketh with his eyes." Beware frowardness in your life. Someone is always looking up to you. What are you communicating non-verbally? Somebody is picking things up from you. Are they picking up biblical things from us? Your actions teach what is in your heart. What are you teaching? It's interesting how we can say a lot without opening our mouth. An eye roll, a shoulder turn, a sigh, all kinds of nonverbal ways to communicate our reluctance or aversion or disobedience. Frowardness. Is God pleased with it? And we might say, well, how could we really allow ourselves to have froward speech and actions? Don't we know God hates it? Don't we know he will judge it? Well, of course we do know that, and so surely we wouldn't be guilty of that. I already know this. I'm not going to struggle with this. But again, we are froward because we think we are right. Well, people don't understand this issue like I do. If I could only get them to see things the way that I see them. Most folks don't really see what is going on, and it sort of becomes a mission that I have to let people know what is the right way to look at it. And now we are sowing discord. We don't end up proclaiming scripture and trusting God to work in others' hearts. Instead, we use words and actions subtly to get people to act the way that we want them to act and think the way we want them to think. We pull strings and work behind the scenes to help people see what we want them to see. We end up criticizing others and helping them do what we think they should do. There are many ways that frowardness can sneak in, and the result, again, is discord. This is what a froward person does, and the froward person doesn't see it this way. But this is how God sees it, and he will judge it. Again, the calamity coming suddenly. And we ought not to try be obedient to God because we're afraid he's going to punish us. The punishment and the judgment is only one, I would say, secondary reason. The primary reason we ought to do what's right is because we love the Lord. We want to please him. We want to be used by him for the good of others. We want to edify and build up. We don't want to tear down and bring people over to our side and show them the alternative path. Speak the truth. There's plenty to say. It's right here. We just have to repeat it and let God work. We know that God works in the heart. So let's speak the truth so God can work in the heart. We don't have to try to change hearts. King Solomon is saying, "Son, you need to know that this is how sinners are. These are the issues, these are the symptoms, and these are the results. Beware of these things. Don't ignore them or just minimize them in someone else's life. Stay away and don't justify them in your own life. Don't be influenced don't be this froward person. Don't be influenced by this froward person. Don't be this froward person." God will deal severely with this kind of person. We won't take the time, but Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 17, you can write that reference down. It gives the antidote, talks about thankfulness. "Whatsoever ye do, do it unto the Lord, Am I being thankful here? Am I bringing the Lord into this situation? Am I doing everything and saying everything to lift him up and glorify him? Not I, but Christ, we sang earlier. We don't have to let ourselves go down that froward path. The severity and subtlety of frowardness, it's a very serious thing. We ought to be on guard against it in the lives of others, and especially in our own lives. We have the same potential that anyone else has. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these warnings. Help us to heed them. I pray that you would